Mr. Corden, Reel 8. I think the next thing that happened was the big parade in Tunis. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yes. All the different companies had one lorry full to visit Tunis for the Grand Parade. And I think you were all nominated different areas to park the vehicles. So our lorry was full from HQ. My best pal, Jeff, we were lucky getting booked in together because we had to put our names upon the notice board if we wanted to go. And our lorry was full and we went. Had a glorious day. We saw the parade. But prior to the parade, Jeff and I wandered around the outskirts of Tunis and we came across a printer in a shop. We saw this old style printing press going at Alpha Leather in the shop window. So my pal was a printer from Adams Press in his civilian life. So we were interested, we went in. Oh, the man was right pleased to see us. And eventually, we had some carts printed, which turned out Christmas carts for the following Christmas. And we kept them, we had a dozen each done, and we kept them until this Christmas time. And we had little verses written on by some of the lads in the camp that could write verses. And we sent them the next Christmas for Christmas carts. That'd be Christmas 43. Anyway, we had a glorious day, and I was looking for my brother.
What do you remember of the parade? What was it like?
Well, just like the newsreel showed us. We saw the newsreel later on, and it was just like the newsreel showed us. I think the soldiers, by the way, at the end of the parade, they were really browned up, sweating and everything. But anyway, they all looked pleased. The ones that were in the parade looked pleased that they were in the parade, and I think the civilians were quite pleased as well, seeing it all. Anyway, we enjoyed the day. Went back and told those that hadn't been what they missed that didn't want to go. Anyway, our time at Bizerta was soon to an end. 2 days after the parade, we went on to Hammamet and Sousse. I don't know which one we went to first, but went there to reorganise whatever was coming next. And there again, we had our 2-man biddies, like we in the Bizerta. And the sea wasn't far away, but the water, we had to travel about a mile out before we could get above your waist to swim. That's how the sands were at Susan's Hammamet. Anyway, we rolled about there. We hadn't much work to do because we were getting re-kitted up. We didn't know what for, but we were getting re-kitted up, new kit. We didn't have new vehicles. The vehicles were okay that we'd got. You know, except the damaged ones, of course, they were taken right out straight away. But anyway, the next trip we moved en bloc was to the docks. On to...
At Sousse.
And onto tank landing craft.
And that would be the 11th of June, I think, 43.
Well, that we was on there on the day before, actually. We embarked on the night before. It was nearly dusk when we embarked.
Did you know where you were going?
No, we had no idea at all where we were going. But we knew it couldn't be. We were looking forward to, we were looking at Sicily, because we're in tank landing craft, again. That's the old flat bottom boats. With the door at the front, the flop with a bang on the beach, and the engine at the back. Well, the lorry was on. It was filled up with lorries, and there was 4 of us on the front, the motorbikes. I got the RSM motorbike as usual, because he wouldn't drive it on convoy or anything like that. As opposed to the way he wouldn't. But anyway, he got away with that. He always dumped it onto me. So there was 4 of us, me and 3 dispatch riders. We're going to be the first off. Otherwise, we should be where the lorries. So anyway, we were going to be the first off. Anyway, we went out into the Mediterranean in the dark, and the daylight came around about 4 o'clock. And we climbed up on top of the vehicles because we couldn't see nothing down at the bottom. We climbed up on top of the vehicles and we could see a huge mushroom of smoke and cloud. And we were told then what it was. It was a little island called Pantelleria. And 40 giant bombers had just dropped the load on there an hour or two before we saw it. That's what the small cloud was. These fine forces, 40 of them, had dropped all the cargo on there. And they'd been at it for quite a while, from what we gathered afterwards. But anyway, we were told to get ourselves ready for landing and expect what we saw. We didn't know what we were going to expect, and nobody on board the ship could tell us, to look forward to landing the best road we could. And we'd be off first motorbikes. Anyway, we circled this island, and that was the first I knew there was an island called Pantelleria, incidentally. But I learned before we landed what the island was. It was a fortress for airplanes. Anyway, each boat was signalled by someone, there was a contact, and where the central control point was. Each boat had to come in to land when they got the signal. Well, what happened with our signal, but our boat and another boat circled into landing together, and this other boat rammed us, and we'd been anything but flat bottom, we'd have been at bottom mid. But being flat bottom, he rose halfway up us, and we could see barnacles underneath the boat, and he slid back off. And the only damage was all the handrails down the boat, that all went. And because the two captains, what they said to one another was unheard of for anybody. And of course, they weren't naval captains, they were seamen captains. Anyway, eventually, we was given the okay to go ahead for landing. The other one had got the message wrong. It was others that should have gone in. So we went in to what had been the harbour. And all we could see was concrete lumps here and everywhere. And the captain said, you just have to make the best of it. When we went in, he stopped. He dropped his board down. And we were all right. We were lucky. We landed on something that was something like flat. And we were off with motorbikes. We were going to get away from harbour as soon as possible and take the right-hand road, whichever that was going to. We don't know then, but we had to take the right-hand road. And we went off on the right-hand road. And then the lorries started coming up, and we were lucky. The lorries were in a position where we could all drive off. So it was good seamanship or what, but we landed on a piece of concrete where it was flat. But anyway, eventually we was picked up by another Dunar, I think the military police, I think, got the red hat on, and they took us to a destination which turned out to be a gun site which had been occupied by the Italians. But there was no opposition. There was no opposition, very little. I think the guards had landed a bit further around the coast, and they cleared up what opposition there was. But there was nobody got killed or anything like that. Very little gunfire at all. Machine gun fire, anything. We never had anything at all. I think the guards had been landed half an hour or so in front of us, and there was no opposition to it at all. But somebody had been quick on the move and got all the maps and everything, because we went straight to this gun site. How we got there, I don't know, but to follow this Dunar, we followed him all right. And that was our home. This gun site was our home for the next couple of months we were on Pantelleria. That's, I'm talking about HQ. Where the guns were deployed to was a different kettle of fish. I mean, I don't know how they landed, where they landed, but I think on our boat there was one bulldozer. I think he went off and lit something for the rest of the boats to come in so they could get two at a time rather than one at a time. But anyway, in the process, he was dived on by a couple of
fuckwolves. What do you remember of that? What was that like?
Well, one of the ships sent up a warning shot, which a warning shot was always a black shot which come out in black smoke, tell everybody we're being attacked. That was the idea in them days, because there was no communications that we got then. So, and these, we could hear these diving, but we could never saw them, because they always come out of the sun. Fort Wolves 19, those always came out of the sun. We heard the bombs go up, but where they were, I don't know, because we finished up in a ditch. We used to walk the motorbikes off the road, and there was a ditch there, and we got in there, so we went. And
Was the noise, I mean, people talk about the siren being a bit intimidating. What was the noise like that they made when they dived on you?
Well, terrific. It was like the siren. It was like the sirens going. When they were diving, it was a screeching noise when those footballs dived. And it really tried life after everybody, I think.
It worked then?
Well, it worked. They got something to cause that on the aircraft, I don't know, but it was a terrific screech, and you could never see them. Not in the Mediterranean air. They always came out of the sun.
So you set up your workshop on the site, on the gun site. Where the headquarters were.
That's right. Well, the lorries were parked around the perimeter of this company. It was a properly built concrete gun site with three guns on, but they weren't empty aircraft guns, as I was such. Before firing out the ships at sea, not anti-aircraft. And that seems strange, because they didn't elevate as high as our guns did. But all the ammunition were, we cleared all the ammunition out, they were our beds. I mean, we weren't expecting any rain, anything like that. We were still sheltered. We were still sheltered on these concrete, because there was no concrete roof on them, but open at the front. Just where the shells were. They were all cleared out and they were our best for MT section. And Cooks and Batman were as well. And there were three certain gun compounds like that, all where the HQ was. The MO's RAP was in some kind of concrete emplacement away from the gun site. And the office itself was away from the gun site. Just in the concrete buildings, I think they're more secure than what ours were.
So you just settled into work as usual?
We just settled. I mean, there wasn't much work to work. The lorries didn't do much work. There's only occasional lorry went out for rations because the roads were a bit rough.
How big was? I mean, I can't quite picture how big the island was.
Well, I think about 4 by 8.
4 miles by 8.
4 by 8. And the civilians on the island had all been moved, they'd all been told through propaganda, not from the aeroplanes, to go to the far end of the island that they were going to be before the bombing started. And I think there were very few civilians killed or injured at all, because they all went to the far end of the island where there was no military things at all. I think all there was there was a Coast Guard, a bit of a lighthouse affair. But all the activity was more or less near the harbour end of the island, and the Italians in their past, they built an aerodrome on top of that island. It was a volcanic island, and they built the airport up there. The hangars were hewed out in rock, and there was no place to be seen after the time. They were all inside the hangars. They only brought them out when they were ready for flying off. But anyway, and they used to fly off, straight off, and they were in the air. So they left the airfield. They were in the air because they dropped and went into the sea. Except one aeroplane dropped from one of our gun sites. And eventually, the three of our fellows got with the pilot and his co-pilot out, and they eventually got American medals later on in Italy.
Was there much German air activity? I mean, did they try and bomb you back?
They tried to bomb us back, but very little, very little. Machine gun rather than bombing. Light bombing. The Germans came over once or twice with light bombing, a machine gun in, because at one period we was in a lagoon in amongst the docks that were connected with the sea. We were swimming. And we had to get out quick because the machine gun was. And it forced us climbing out of the rocks. My ring that my mother bought me for my 21st birthday finished up. It broke as I was climbing out, and it's in the about 40 foot of water on that Pantelleria. That's one thing I remember about that. But after the first week or so, there were no machine gunning, no bombing at all.
So how did you spend your day?
Well, after we'd been there about a week, one of our lookouts noticed a mine bombing about in the water outside. And it kept there for a whole day. And so the officers asked if we could get the gun working. So we got the gun working, and eventually, by doing open sights, we fired 3 shots at this mine, hit it with the 3rd one, and up it went. Because we thought if it comes nearer, it'd hit on the rocks and probably shower us with rocks rather than anything else. But anyway, we blew it up by using this Italian gun, firing open sights, and it was so near. And after the first shot,
this is the Italian coastal gun that was
coastal gun,
that
yes.
The battery was originally for.
That's right. That's what they were for. They were for firing at ships rather than aircraft.
So what did you? How did you spend your time? What were conditions like on Pantelleria when things had calmed down?
Things were very, very quiet. The governing body was the Americans. We had all American rations. We lived on American rations.
What were American rations like compared to yours?
Well, their frontline rations were cheap, 90% were fruit users in the African sector. What they were the rest of the country, I don't know. But in the hot climates, now there was fruit use all through the day. Enough fruit use all through the day. And a lot of fruit in their food. But it was pretty good. Pretty good. We say, I mean, there's one other thing. Everybody got 200 cigarettes a week. We've got 50 of our own, but with the American rations, they're at 200. And of course, everybody smoked themselves to death.
And what about, you know, entertainment in the evening? We had to get.
Entertainment in the evening, the Americans rigged up cinemas in the hangars. They cleared one hangar. They never had no aircraft in. There were cinemas going every night, and we were invited to go every night. So many every night. Filled the lorry, and from the batteries right to the gun sites round about, they could all go on that particular night. And the cinema show, I think, it started about 6 till about 11, and they run to a couple of films, which is very good.
How did you get on with the individual Americans, the troops and the.
We, as a HQ, we didn't see much of the individual troops, only when we went on these visits to the air zone.
And what did you think of them?
They couldn't do enough for us. I think they were the same as us, they were isolated, same as us, so we had to help one another, and they couldn't do enough for us. But, we was there 2 months, at least 2 months, so we'd... plenty of time when we got brown, we used to go swimming regular at midnight, regular, because it was so hot for one thing. And we got these pools, we didn't go in the sea because it was all rocks. We went in the pools that were trapped in, this pools of water trapped in the rocks, and they were anything from 10 to 40 foot deep. You couldn't see the bottom, clear water, you could never see the bottom, but they loved it to swim in. But no good for learners. If we had a learner amongst us, we also had a rope on him.
What about the Italians? Did they move back?
We never saw the Italians at all. I never saw an Italian person at all. They never moved back while we were there. I did go down into the harbour area 2 or 3 days after we landed to see what things were like. I went to the motorbike with one of the dispatch riders, and everything was in the ruins. I don't think there was a building that was left over. What we did find, we found the post office where there were stacks and stacks of boxes of sultanas, muscats, what they were, the muscat raisins, packed in boxes, addressed by the Italian soldiers that were there, addressed to go back home in Italy, all in the post office, stamped, ready for dispatch that never got. And what weren't damaged, we had those. We filled the satchels on the motorbike and took them back to the camp, readdressed them and sent them to England. It was good that.
So you were there about two months or so. What happened next?
Well, going back to that 2 months, the nights were spent playing cards. We were with a good scar school with the MT section and the batman. There were always 2 schools going, one with solo and one with Bragg. And we was in the solo school, me and Bratman, my friend. And we played cards every night, I'd have not a bottle of wine, a bucket of wine. And he used to dip his cup in.
Did you get drunk?
Oh, yes. We were sat on our beds, so we just must have gone over into beds. We had to go far to walk. Only a yard next to the compartment. Anyway, after that, the next step, while we were there, Sicily was invaded and took. And that was the reason for us going there, to capture the aerodrome, our troops use it to escort our bombers from Africa to bomb Sicily. And as soon as the Sicilian campaign was finished with, Pantarea was finished with, because Sicily was the next step. The aerodrome, everything from the aerodrome was moved to Sicily. And that was another step nearer for the shorter distance for the fighters to look after the bombers. And for the fighters on that island, that's what it was for. And then Sicily was invaded and taken. And by that time, I mean, that wasn't long. Nothing long elapsed in between, because Salerno was on the 8th of September. And we landed in on Pantarea the 11th of June. It's not long to the 8th of September. And we landed from Pantarea in Naples around about the 30th of September, 1st and 2nd of October, something in that period. Because I think Naples fell to our troops about the 28th or 29th. So we was able to dock in the harbour at Naples.
What do you remember of your arrival in Naples?
That's another episode. I got motorbike again. I just said, give me motorbike again. My lorry was an old road, my lorry, I don't know. But anyway, I had his motorbike again. And of course, we were the first off motorbikes, but we had to take lorries with us this time. I forget how many lorries we had in this particular group. But we were given instructions, with no maps or anything, we were given instructions to go to a place called Vittoria. Well, we didn't know how we were going to find Vittoria, but we were told just to get out of the dock area, turn left, right, or whatever, and then find his own way to Vittoria. But I don't know what it were till after, but every time we asked somebody where Vittoria was, I mean, the Italians were helpful to us, the civilians, and they could tell us where Vittoria was. And it turned out, when we got there eventually, it was a princess palace, Octaviana. And Vittoria was the name of the palace or something. But the village it was in was Octaviana. Now, I've got photographs of that. And it was a principality of some sort. That's why all the people that we asked could tell us where Vittoria was. Otherwise, we might have finished up at Rome or somewhere. But we got about, there was two of us motorbikes, and I think about 8 to 10 bodies. And we were all coming, following one another like a snake, right through. How far outside Naples it was, I don't know, I've forgotten. But it was just outside Naples, not very far.
So what happened when you got there?
Well, our HQ was there. Our regimental headquarters were there. And some battalions, some of the gunners were there. But we were only there about 10 days, and we were praying up outside, and we moved off to... We went on to Torrinunziata, which was another village. I think it was more south of Naples and nearer to Vesuvius. And we were there for quite a long while. It must have been 6 months or so. We were there.
And what was the setup there?
We were in the school. In the school there. And we bedded ourselves in this school.
Now, your duties, just the same?
Yes, just the same.
Because you had nothing to do with the guns. Were the guns in action much? Would you know?
The first month. But after that, there wasn't any action at all. Because the Germans or the Italians never come to bomb Naples to that extent. Because I think they were too well occupied where they were. The front had moved about 50 or 60 miles away from Naples then. And they were too busy up there. And if we going back in the history of that particular war, they were stuck at around that area, Monte Cassino, around that, all that area for a long, long while. Even when they put other troops landing from Anzio, they didn't move very far.
Now, while you were there, and I know you got some contacts that you knew what was happening to your brother, didn't you? Can you tell us how you?
Oh yes,
because he was with
the contacts started in Africa. The contact started in Africa and carried on there. I'll go back to Africa. My pa was a batman. He was batman to the 2nd in command. And as a batman, they got access to follow the officers wherever they went. And one particular instance, that he found out that a officer, I think it was one of the intelligence officers attached to us at that time, that was at Sucre Chemis, was in a control room of some description with all the maps on the wall. Of course, they get wanted a copy of tea or something like that, and when he had a job of taking it in, they used to purposely volunteer to take it in because he was interested in all these little flags on the wall. And he saw the German Light Infantry. He saw 46 Dip first, then he saw the German Light Infantry, which I knew. My brother was in 46 Dip, and he was in Oak Tree, and Oak Tree was 46 Dip at that time. So every time he went in, he made an effort to try and get in every day and have a look at the maps and see where the drills were.
It's the 16th Battalion.
16th Battalion. And we followed the 16th up and down Tunisia, backwards and forwards. And then they went out and we went off that area then. So that was cut short until we got into Naples. And the Lord was still in the command room again for a period. And they followed us into Italy. We followed them into Italy this time, because I didn't know then, till afterwards, that they landed at Salerno. And then from landing at Salerno, I followed them up the line again. Till eventually, at Torre Nunziata, I make contact with his officer, the MO, and I wrote to the commanding officer of the RAMP, RMP, that's the ambulance post, the lieutenant ambulance post, and he got it, not the CO as it happened, he got it, the MO got the letter, asking if he could come down to spend a few days when he could have a plan with me. Which I got no answer back, of course. Till eventually, one evening about 10:30, my brother come in, walked into Torre at this village at Torre Nunziata, all mud splattered and everything. He come out at line, he didn't know about the letter, and his MO says, "I've got a letter here from your Sam. There's a dispatch rider there. Get him to take you so many miles down the road, and then you look rest yourself. There's plenty of vehicles travelling when you get on the main road." And did just that. And he knew our colours, and that's how he located us. He knew what our number was, 277. He knew the colours, black and red. And of course, now the numbers and the colours were all over Naples, because the guns were all around Naples. And different colours in different sections told us he knew which were HQ section colours, because ours was always different to the others. But anyway, he came in this night about 10:30, and we were playing cards as usual on the bed. And of course, the room exploded when he walked in, because they all knew I'd written to him, never expected him coming, but anyway, he came. And he spent a week with us. That night, he had the adjutant's dinner.
How come?
He had the adjutant's dinner, because he was in the Batman as well, of course, he was a real rogue, my mate. He went and the adjutant hadn't come in, it was 11 o'clock, so he says, "Right, well, adjutant's had it. Well, if you ask for it, it's been John had it." Anyway,